Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Just to remind our listeners that Scunthorpe United are top of the league right now. We're top of A League. It's been a long time, if you can believe it. But it's been a really good start to the season, and I think we probably deserve to be there. So let's hope we can maintain that performance. And welcome back to the Iron Brew podcast. Matt Ellis, Matt Blanchard, and Toby Skelton has returned from the train dimension. Welcome back, Toby.
Thank you very much. Cheers. Nice to be home now, yeah.
Fantastic. We thought we'd lost you there. But no, we're back, and it's been an interesting week. It's been an interesting day, actually. Our very own Matt Blanchard has spoken at length to Iron Chairman David Hilton, and you can see the full transcript on the Iron Brew Forum, so go ahead and check that out after you finish listening to us, of course. But yeah, do you want to give us a little bit of a breakdown of that chat you had today, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, it was out of the blue, to be honest. Didn't expect it. But I think there were certain rumours and things that were kind of, that have come to light in the last few days, that I think needed some explanation. And Dave gave me a call this morning and we went through those. You know, I think we could break it down into a couple of different areas. I think the first one is the safety certificate and the issues that we've kind of experienced in the first two home games. You know, I think there was a lot of rumours going around that the capacity was capped at 2,500, and then there were certain people saying it wasn't, and you know, I think it's caused quite a lot of arguments and things like that on social media. You know, David did confirm today that cap was in place at the 2,500 in the week prior to the Peterborough Sports game. You know, the safety advisory group had told him that was it, 2,500, and basically he had to adhere to that for the Peterborough Sports game. Well, obviously we were expecting more fans in than that on the day. I think, what was it, 3,500 in the end. So in the lead up to the game, there were discussions between the council and Hilton and the club, and the council and the safety advisory group had agreed to a 4,500 or 50% of the capacity of Glanford Park for that game, which obviously was more than enough to accommodate everyone that had bought tickets and those that turned up on the day to buy tickets on the day. I think it transpires that the club weren't quite aware of the breakdown of that 50%, and they weren't quite aware that it was 50% per stand. And I think that's where the issues kind of arose on the match day, when the Donny Road end was shut, and you know, a few people, you know, a number of people were asked to go in one of the side stands, sitting down in one of the side stands, because behind the goal was at capacity. So you know, that was interesting, because I know there's been a lot of back and forth, and whether there was a capacity restriction in place. That was the case, and you know, a few people have asked me about it on social media. As far as I was aware, you know, that was the case. Obviously there was work done in the lead up to the game, and there was obviously discussions, and that was relaxed. But I think it goes back to what we were saying about the Peterborough Sports game. I think we all said on the podcast that, you know, there was a hell of a lot of stewards, there were a hell of a lot of police that game, which it felt, especially police, and it felt a little bit over the top. And I think Hilton's argument, and obviously you can go and have a look at the transcript, but Hilton's argument was that the requests of the safety advisory group haven't really changed from when we were in the Championship to now. Obviously, there's a massive difference in terms of crowds and things like that. I mean, you're thinking back in the Championship, we had, you know, sometimes 6,000, 7,000, 8,000, sometimes even 9,000, if you think about the Newcastle game. And at the moment, you know, as of a couple of weeks ago, the council, according to Hilton, were kind of expecting us to provide the same number of stewards as we were back then, which doesn't seem logical. And especially for a club our size in the league we're in, it can get very costly. So I think we all agreed with that at the time. We had a good conversation about that last week. You know, it did seem excessive. And I think, hopefully, we're at a point now where there's a new safety manager in place. You know, they're in dialogue with the club. They're in dialogue with the council. But, you know, both parties are communicating. And it does seem we're in a position now, and Hilton was hoping it would be lifted today in terms of, the 4,500 cap, that we are working towards something like, what it should be, which is positive. Obviously, I think Hilton had mentioned himself a couple of games last season, especially the Oldham game. I think it was around maybe February, I think. But that game actually cost the club over £20,000 just to get that game on in stewarding and policing, and the club were not making a profit. And I understand Hilton's frustrations because, a team at our level, you've got to make a profit on a match day. Otherwise, when else are you going to make a profit? So I understand that completely, and I think we've all agreed with kind of the reasoning behind that, and hopefully this is kind of the back of that, and we can move forward. But obviously, it was an issue, and it was just good to have some clarification on that, I think, given there's been a few arguments and a few kind of rumors going around. But it appears in this case the rumors were true, in the first part of the week in the lead up to the Peterborough game.
Yeah, it does sound absolutely insane, doesn't it, really, that we're kind of expected to maintain the same level of sort of policing and stewarding, as to the kind of championship season, which is absolutely insane. So it's really good that that's been sorted. And obviously we've got a big game on Monday against Scarborough, and there should be a good crowd for that one. So as you said, Matt, hopefully if those kind of if that work in the background's been done, then that shouldn't be an issue in terms of stand capacity, which is really, really good. But it's good to hear that we got some really solid information from the chairman there, and that's really good. And look, it's been a really good start to the season, hasn't it? And the kind of the investment in the playing staff that's been made by the chairman, and the support of Jimmy Dean and stuff like that's been really good. And it's obviously been in, done in such a way that we've been able to start the season really well, which is all we really wanted. We just wanted to win a few games, didn't we? We'd lost enough in the past few seasons, so yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. And hopefully moving forward, obviously we've got the issue of the court case and stuff like that, which I think we probably do need to talk about a little bit. If you don't know, you should, unless you've been living under a rock. There is a court case taking place at, I think it's in Leeds, isn't it?
Yes.
I believe it's at Leeds on the 29th, which is next Tuesday. Obviously, nobody really knows how that's going to go. There's kind of solid arguments for sort of both, kind of whether or not we're going to get evicted, of whether or not we'll indeed be able to stay at Glanford Park, depending on what the court says. And if it's adjourned, then obviously there's kind of a sort of a stay of execution, if you like, for the club, which means that it kind of drags on. They can get kicked down the road, which would probably be a good outcome at this point, just because obviously we don't want this kind of stuff coming to the fore and disrupting the really good work that the team's doing on the pitch. Definitely not something we want. And honestly, I think that would be disastrous, to be quite honest, because it's sort of been an issue for kind of previous managers and sort of playing staff, the whole turmoil behind the scenes. And even though we know it's kind of bubbling away at the minute, I think Jimmy's done a fantastic job to get this squad of players, although they are very, very talented to this level, but performing in such a way that it's as if there are no off-field issues. But obviously they will be aware of that, so full credit to Jimmy for that. I tweeted about that earlier in the week, actually. It's been a while since we've seen a manager be able to kind of get results and performances from a team at Scunthorpe United, with the on off-field turmoil. And I realize obviously Nelson did get some good results, but I think that kind of the consistency maybe in performance is really good at the moment. As facing different types of opposition, from Tamworth to kind of, obviously, as we saw Darlington at home, two very, very different games, two very, very different performances, two different ways to win a football match, and essentially those results are coming through. So that's full credit to Jimmy Dean there, which is absolutely fantastic. But do we want to talk about the court case a little bit more, just to give it a little bit more meat on the bone, if we can?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite difficult because obviously, we did mention it earlier on, but it's difficult to say anything that's not already out there in the public domain. I think Hilton's obviously set his stall out. He said what he wants to say in the, I think it was the non-league paper. I think, he's well aware that adjournment is the best outcome for the club. I think he's gone, you know, he's gone on record to say that anyway, that that's what we're hoping for, and it sort of deserves its day in court. And you know, I think as fans, that's really the best outcome for Scunthorpe United. At the end of the day, that is, you know, for me, I just can't see any other way. Obviously, if we do have to play somewhere else, then so be it. But I think we've already kind of discussed the implications that's going to have on the playing budget and things like this. You know, we're not making a massive amount of money on a match day anyway. You wouldn't have thought with season tickets. Obviously, season ticket sales were quite high. And then obviously, if we went somewhere else, paying rent and all these things that we're going to have to do, if that was the case, we're not going to be making much on a match day at all. And I think, you know, long term, ultimately, I mean, we said it a couple of weeks ago, someone's got to fund those bills and fill that gap, and that's going to be Hilton. And yeah, it's going to be a very, very difficult situation if that actually is what we have to do. But yeah, I mean, I can't really say a lot more, really. You know, he said he was quite confident. I think he said that publicly anyway in the lead up to this in a number of press outlets. And I think at the end of the day, we just have to wait and see. But I think ultimately it's going to come down to whether the judge on the day feels it's sort of a binary decision, and whether it is a case of, is there a lease? Is there a lawful lease? Yes or no? You know, if it comes down to that, it may well be that we are told that, you know, we're going to be evicted. If other factors are considered, for example, you know, I've seen quite a few people saying it's a big community asset and there's a lot of people involved and things like this. If that does come into it, then obviously that may work in the club's favour and Hilton's favour. But at the end of the day, we don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about it. I've spoken to a lot of people about it, and I think it's 50-50, to be honest. I think some people think we may be evicted. Some people think it might be adjourned. And I think, you know, as a football club, we've just got to keep our fingers crossed that it is an adjournment. And I think that is the best we can hope for at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we look at it, the bigger picture, obviously, you know, we're on a good run of form at the minute. We play Curzon Ashton on Saturday away on a grass pitch, I will add, which is really, really nice. And then a big game on Monday against Scarborough. And it's not beyond the realm of possibility that we could be knocking up notching up another couple of wins and really maybe even put a little bit of breathing space between ourselves and second place. And then you've got this court case on Tuesday now. Obviously, it could be a bad result, but, you know, if it's not, and if we do get the adjournment that we're looking for, then that's going to be a real boost for the club. It, essentially, you know, we're kind of okay for the immediate future, which means that, you know, it's going to give everybody a little bit of a sigh of relief. And hopefully, we might even see more on the pitch from the team and more from Jimmy, you know, just in terms of those shackles aren't kind of as tight as they had been. So we may see some improved performances on the pitch and stuff like that. And we may be able to really kick on, you know, with this squad that's been performing really, really well. So, you know, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm sure that's what all Iron fans are hoping for as well. Kind of what are you expecting from the next two games, Toby?
Well, for me, I like to just say it's a nicely winning game, isn't it? I mean, when have you been in the top half of the league? Never mind the top position. It must be years. So the next two games, obviously Curzon, another one of the sort of the smaller, less fancied clubs. That should be another tough game. But I'm confident because our current run of form, everyone really seems to be playing very decent. Players don't really seem scared, you know. We were winning 1-0, obviously, at Rushall for quite a long time, but we didn't look like conceding. Everybody seemed to sort of know what they were doing. There wasn't really much hesitancy. We seemed quite in control. So I think in this league, if we can sort of score relatively early, the teams attacking us will just sort of tire. We can hit them on the counter. And I just, for once, I just feel like, you know, I don't feel like I'm nervous going to games anymore, like we were sort of previously. So I think Curzon, yeah, I'd like to say another 6 points in the next two games. So Scarborough at home can be difficult because they're going to bring in a good few fans. They're one of the sort of, I guess, more fancy teams in this league. So that's going to be a slightly tougher challenge. But no, I don't see why we can't get another 6 points. You know, with our squad, the squad depth, I think we can rotate players well. So yeah, I think even our sort of second team is one of, you know, is probably the best, one of the best 11s in the league anyway. So I've got no reason to believe we can't get another 6 points, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And Yeah, hopefully that's what we'll be getting. You look at those games and you think that there should be something in it for us. And you know, just to touch on that point you made there, Toby, actually about you know, kind of getting that early goal and then you know, letting kind of teams maybe hit us and hit them on the counter. But something I've kind of noticed really is that you know, there's a big difference in fitness levels between full time teams and part time teams in this league, as you would expect. And obviously, being a full time team playing against part time teams, we're going to see those differences. Which you know, and we've seen it. We've scored quite a few goals late on in games so far this season, and I think you're probably looking at the 80 minute mark plus. A lot of these part time players are kind of going to be blowing out there, you know. So it's kind of a good time to get extra goals, a good time to capitalize. And it's a good time to bring a bit of extra pace on, you know, to kind of, you know, attack weary fullbacks, you know, in terms of like bringing Sembi Ferris on, who's looked really good recently in his kind of short sort of foray from the bench. So, you know, probably something we will see over the next couple of games, I would think.
Massively, massively. I mean, obviously, these teams with the part-time players, they can't match us. When we can bring on professionals from the bench who are fully fit, and our opponents can bring on, again, part-time players who perhaps aren't fully matched, but obviously, you know, they're working in the week as well. So I think that sort of squad depth goes a long way in this league. Having players that are, you know, fully fit, train a lot of time in the week as well, gives us obviously a slight advantage. So yeah, I'm pretty impressed with the team. And yeah, I don't see why we can't do that even more, because, you know, most teams are part-time, obviously. And that will give us a massive advantage going forward.
Yeah, I think that's really going to come into play, you know, as we go through the season. There's going to be Tuesday night games. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of midweek games. And I think, you know, some of these teams, especially when they're coming to our place, they're coming straight from work and things like that. Whereas we can, as a full-time club, we can prepare for those games in a way we always have done. And I think that's really going to give us the edge, really. Well, it should do anyway. Let's be honest, it should do. And there should be no excuses when we're turning up at some of these part-time teams in the midweek, or they're coming to us. You know, there should be no excuse for poor performances, because at the end of the day, given we are a full-time club, you know, we should be able to go out there and make that advantage count. And I think at the moment, we've seen that. I think with the Darlington game, as you rightly said there, Jimmy obviously made some good subs, and we managed to stretch that game with Elliot and Sebby Ferris. I think Saturday was a little bit different, because I think the injuries sort of, you know, he couldn't make the subs that he may have wanted to. I think, you know, he was forced into the Clunan sub early. And, you know, yeah, it might not have been the subs he had in his head to make before the game. Obviously, Sembi Ferris came on. To be fair, I think he should have had a penalty in the second half. I think that, to me, that looked like a penalty. But ultimately, you know, the subs he made, you know, the changes he made, although he might not have wanted to lose Clunan and, you know, things like that, I think they came on and we pulled away and we got two really good goals in the second half to win it. But yeah, I think there's going to be games where you can't make the subs, the ideal subs, but I think there are going to be games where, you know, you can make those subs, Elliot, Sembi Ferris, and people that can stretch the games. And as Toby said, I just think, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams at this level that just can't live with that. You know, they've gone 70 minutes, put a good shift in, but you know, that last sort of 20 minutes, as we saw in the Darlington game, I think we could have scored another two or three that night. And you know, I think the levels in fitness between the two sides really did show in that sort of latter stage of the game. And you know, that's something we really do need to capitalize on moving forward.
Yeah, should we talk, speaking of three goals, should we talk a little bit about the Russia Olympic win? Then 3-0. Some a seriously, seriously classy goal from Denton, playing as a kind of a left inside forward there. With hell of a strike. Hopefully, we'll see more of that this season. But you know, another good win. You know, that's what, seven goals in two games, two clean sheets. It's the stuff of dreams, really, isn't it?
To be honest, I don't think it was a brilliant performance. I think, you know, they were well in the game for large periods of it. I think, you know, the early goal was good. Obviously, Beeston, you know, you wait all that time for a goal and then he gets a couple. I think he got...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door.
Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Okay, with the keeper, you know, it's poor keeping at the end of the day. However, you know, he's confident, he took the shot on, and it's squirmed through. And I think we are getting the rub of the green at times where, you know, previous seasons we haven't quite had it. And it's gone the other way, and other teams have had the rub of the green against us. But yeah, it was good to see that one go in. And at the end of the day, you know, they all count, and he's got the shot off, and the keeper's, yeah, not managed to keep it out. But I think in terms of the game, I think Jimmy was right, really, in his post-match. I think it was one of those we defended relatively well throughout the game. I think there were a few moments where we were living a bit dangerously, and I think Fitzsimmons, you know, he's come up with another unbelievable save, actually. I think, you know, he's made a couple of really good saves so far. The Darlington game, we were speaking about it last week, you know, that save he's pulled off 0-0, and he's pulled off another fantastic save at 1-0 at the weekend. And if they go 1-1, I think that would have given them a little bit of confidence. I think they were getting up ahead of steam, I think, and they were looking a bit more confident in that first spell of the second half. And they had a few half chances, but I think that was the big one. It was a good header, you know, as a striker, you know, he couldn't have done any more with it, really. Fitzsimmons pulled off a great save, and then we've gone on and won the game. And I think Jimmy, you know, he's got it right. You know, we've been clinical in front of goal. We maybe could have had one or two other, you know, other goals. I think Whitehall, the keeper's made a great save, actually, from Whitehall header later on. But yeah, ultimately, we've taken our chances, and obviously one was a bit of a wonder goal. It was sort of fine lines. I don't think they were that bad. And I think they were in the game for large parts of it. But yeah, he's obviously fallen for us, and we've taken our chances, and they haven't. And I think 3-0 probably did flatter us on the day, but I don't think any of us are complaining.
Absolutely not. I mean, we weren't at our best, I don't think, in the game. But it just shows that with our squad, we can just win these sort of games. We can just sort of, you know, lay back a little bit. We can counter and we can win. You know, the fitness levels played a massive part in the game, I thought, at Rushall. And also, it's worth mentioning that Einstein tweeted after the game, it's the first time we've won games back-to-back since February 2021, and it's the first time we've won games away from home, effectively, since December of 2020. So, you know, this is two and a half years of football that we've sort of broken records in now. So, I mean, it's obviously very good to see. But the game itself, yeah, again, we weren't our best. Rushall, the second half, they had a good sort of spell for the opening, I'd say, 20 minutes. But yeah, Fitzsimmons, I thought he was quality at the game, actually. I'm really impressed by him. That save mentioned, Matt, actually, was behind the goal. We saw it perfectly. And you know, down to his legs, down to his knees like that, it was a cracking save. So, yeah, I'm just it's nice to leave away games, you know, winning. We never score 3-4 goals in a row. This is stuff of dreams for us. So, yeah, it's just really good to see.
Yeah, and I think the key thing for me at the moment, as you say, we're clearly not at our best. At times it's not quite as fluent as we may have hoped. You know, we're scoring goals still, we're scoring quite a lot of goals. And I think if we do come good, and I think, you know, you've got to take into account the plastic pitches, because for me, I just don't enjoy games really when they're on the plastic pitches. We've had a couple this season. I'm thinking back to Maidstone last season, and there's a couple more last season. You know, if for me, I don't know, I think it was the whole sort of environment at the weekend, and this is no disrespect to Rushall, but it did seem like a sort of pre-season friendly vibe. And I mean, you know, I'm not being disrespectful, you know, that they're in the same league, they've done really well to get into this league, and they obviously got promoted, and I thought they were a decent side, and they matched us for a large amount of that game, and they had a couple of decent spells. However, you know, when you go to places like that, and I think it's because we're sort of accustomed to going to sort of, you know, your League One, your League Two stadiums, and you know, in not so long ago we were a Championship club, and yeah, it just seems to me at times as fans, I think as well that it can kind of appear like you just a pre-season friendly, and there's not many tackles going in, and for good reason. You know, that pitch is, the surface is horrible. You can't be sliding in on those pitches, and you can just see that the players don't want to do it. And I think it's a very different game on those kind of pitches to a grass pitch. And I think, you know, again, we're talking about sort of fitness advantages and things like that. But I think when it comes to playing some of these teams on a grass pitch, when we've had sort of that grass pitch all season, I think some of these teams are really going to struggle when they come to our place. Because I do think, you know, the best football we've played this season has been on grass. We're still not quite getting to grips with the plastic. And I know we've won 3-0 and, you know, it's a great result, but I still don't think it was as good a performance as what we've put in at home. But I do think, you know, there is room for improvement. We've said that already. And I know we've kind of acknowledged that there are going to be bigger tests to come. I think, you know, away from home, we've played the two promoted sides so far. But, you know, I think there is also a lot of improvement to come from us. And I think, you know, provided everything goes well next week and we're at Glanford Park and, you know, the fans can pack the place and really get behind the side, I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that there's going to be a couple of teams this season that are probably on the wrong end of a really heavy defeat. And, yeah, we've just got to take advantage of all these situations and we've got to capitalise on the fitness. And to be fair to Jimmy, I think overall so far, he's not got much wrong. I think he's obviously we gave him a bit of stick last season, but he's coming to this season with a different squad. And, you know, at the moment, you can't argue with the results so far. I think he's openly admitted it's not been good enough in certain aspects. However, you know, when we do get that right, I don't think there's any teams really that are going to be able to match us over the course of the season.
You know, as we've already kind of spoken about, we're playing Curzon Ashton this weekend. It's not that far from Scunthorpe, but I believe that train strikes on. So, you know, it's slightly more difficult to get to. I think we've sold, you know, just approaching about 600 tickets so far. I believe they go off sale at about 4 p.m. Friday. So, you know, if you want to go to that game, you better go get your tickets. It's obviously no tickets on the day. So, you know, that should be another good away following there. You know, what's their average crowd like? It's about 300, 350, isn't it? Or something like that. So, yeah, we'll probably triple their attendance, which is going to be happening quite a lot this season. But, you know, what I'm looking forward to, I think it's on grass, isn't it? So, you know, all the kind of those comments you just made, Matt, about kind of plastic pitches, we're not going to have that issue at the weekend. So we might see a slightly different away performance. But yeah, we've had a question in from Alex. You may know Alex, actually. He writes articles for us and recently just got a new one up on the Iron Brew website called So Far, So Good. A really balanced piece there, you know, just talks about kind of early season performances and obviously kind of the looming court case, which, you know, is a pretty, you know, standard thing to be talking about at this point since it's coming up on Tuesday. So do give that a read on the Iron Brew website. But Alex says, you know, do we go full strength in a tough away game at Curzon? Apparently, they've only lost two of their last 16, which I did not know. So maybe it will be a little bit more difficult than I'm thinking it will be. Or do we go with kind of a full strength team in front of a pretty big crowd at Glanford Park against Scarborough? I think it's a really good question, actually. And I honestly think that, you know, Jimmy probably won't change. And you know, unless we've got outstanding injuries. I know Clunan went off injured. I'm not sure on his status at the moment. Hopefully he's going to be fit because he was really, really good against Darlington. And I know we've got one or two other injury concerns. But I don't think Jimmy will make any changes unless it's forced by injury, just because, you know, he seems to like to keep that consistency, and that is absolutely fair enough, you know, and depending on fitness levels and what the team looks like for Monday after the game at Curzon on Saturday. You know, I would like to think he will keep a consistent team, but we don't know, and we don't know the state of the squad, so that will be very, very interesting. Alex does also say, which game should Butterfield play, or which game does he play? And that's an interesting one as well, isn't hasn't it? Because I think when we played away against Tamworth, I thought when Butterfield came on, he made a real difference in that midfield area. So, you know, maybe he'll start him on the bench against Curzon and start him, you know, from the start against Scarborough, where I think he'll probably be more effective at home on familiar surrounding on another grass pitch. But it's difficult to say, really. You know, I think it's perhaps going to be a little more tricky than we think. How do you guys see that one going?
The thing is with Curzon, they're unbeaten, but three of those games have been draws. So they're a team that's going to be hard to beat. So I think someone like Butterfield would be effective from the bench later on because they're getting Curzon a part-time. And when their defenders are beginning to tire, I think bringing on someone like Butterfield would be really, really good. Because obviously against Tamworth, we were losing and he came on and made a world of difference. So I think another sort of bench appearance could be required for Butterfield. Yeah, I think it'll be some rotation, not much because you don't want to change your winning team too much. But I would like to think that Whitehall will definitely start because obviously he's been on form recently. Denton, again, he was class at Rushall. So I think there'll be a bit of movement in the midfield because obviously the midfield is very, very hard to keep the energy up throughout the 90 minutes. I think maybe one or two changes, but nothing too drastic for the Curzon game, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because obviously we had Clunan go off at the weekend and Beasting, obviously, towards the end, I think on the final whistle, he went down. I've got a feeling Beasting's out, so we'll see. You know, I think if Beasting's out, then we've got to look at how we line up. Will Sambi Ferris come in? I do think Butterfield will probably start both games. And I don't see any reason why he can. You know, I don't know. I think it's a bit of a myth, really, that he can last the 90 minutes. I know he comes off on 60, 70 minutes most games. But I think, you know, he's done his best work in that sort of hour. I think that's probably the instruction that Jimmy's given him. You know, go out, do what you can in that 70 minutes. And, you know, if we have to bring you off, we will. But I think last season he proved that, you know, he probably played more minutes than anyone, thinking about it. If you look at the stats towards the end of the season, I think he was certainly up there anyway with most minutes played. So I think, you know, it's a bit of a myth that he can't play it. I understand, you know, he's not that old, is he, at the end of the day? He's not his late 30s. I think he's sort of mid-30s. So, you know, I would be disappointed if he couldn't start both games. And I think, ultimately, it's going to be a case of needs, most especially if Beasting's out. Obviously, Clunan has taken a knock at the end of the game on Saturday. He was there with his boot off. I think he had his flip-flop on one foot and his shoe on the other. So, you know, he's obviously a bit of a nasty knock there. And I believe he maybe broke his foot a couple of years ago. And I think they were just a little bit worried that kind of bang on his foot might have kind of flared up. I don't think it's anything serious. I think it's going to keep him out for a length of time. He could well make it for the weekend, but again, whether he can do two games in quick succession, who knows? Honestly don't know, but I do think there's going to be some movement in there, and I think Jimmy will be forced into at least one, if not a couple of changes. But yeah, it'll be interesting because I know Law's kind of been injured as well. You would have thought he may have come in if central midfielder needed replacing. Obviously Rance, there's Pugh in the background, but again, you know, we've not seen Rance, we've not really seen Pugh, have we, either? I don't think he played much of the friendlies, so there are options there, but again, they're not fully fit, and yeah, it's going to be interesting what he does there. But I think Toby's right. I think he's going to make as few changes as possible. I think it's been good that he hasn't had to really make any changes so far. You know, we've not been in that position for a while where either injuries or, you know, we've been losing games and not winning games. So I think fair play to him. He's stuck with the team that's getting results. And hopefully, you know, there's nothing too serious in the injuries picked up last week. But I do think Beasting's definitely going to be out, and fingers crossed on Clunan, because I think he obviously came good on, you know, the Darlington game. I think we saw the best of him there. And obviously didn't see too much of him last week at Rushall, obviously going off injured fairly early on. But I think we have got enough in that central midfield. You know, we've got a lot of midfielders on the books. And it's probably going to be a case of, you know, we're going to have to shuffle the pack a little bit just to get through these couple of games. But again, yeah, I think with Curzon, you know, I've spoken to a few people who, you know, their teams, they've played them this season already. And, you know, I think they do sit back and I think they do let teams have a bit of the ball and they do try and defend. I think that one thing we might find is they're really organised and we've got to break them down. I think on that basis, I know kind of Butterfield's really good at home, and you know he does like to control the play and kind of spread the ball around, and he does make things happen. But I think it might be that we need someone like Butterfield to just unlock their defence at times, because I do think they do sit back. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, and Jimmy's got a few selection headaches, I think. But you know, I think looking at the squad depth, we've got more than enough really to be giving anyone in this league a game.
Yeah, absolutely, and let's hope that that's what happens. So, and for me, I'd actually like to see more of Sembi Ferris in some way on Saturday. I just thought when he came on against Darlington, he was really really sharp actually. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. So let's see what Saturday brings. given that we talked about the squad there, and there are a couple of little injury doubts there. You know, obviously, kind of Roberts is still a few weeks away from you know being part of the match day squad. Obviously, we talked about Clune, and we talked about Beeston. You know, and kind of the sort of a couple of the players that are basically AWOL at the minute, which is Rance. We don't know where he's gone, and also Pugh's just not seemed to have featured. I thought he would have featured a lot more. So I don't know whether we'll see him soon, but you know, it kind of begs the question, do we need to strengthen the squad again?
Yeah, I mean, I think we did a lot of the business early, and I think that's obviously you know, they've had quite a lot of pre-season together, and in previous seasons we've not had that, and I think it showed. You know, starts of the season have been terrible, and you know, they've not gelled really until much later on, if at all. But I do think, you know, there's definitely, given the injury issues, and if some of those are serious, I think we will probably look to strengthen. Hilton told me today that he's been speaking to a club. You know, he's put an inquiry in for a very experienced midfielder from the National League. It looks like, you know, if he could pull that off, it'd be another good signing. So, you know, I can't really say who that is, but, you know, it looks to me, you know, it's another good one that would strengthen the squad. I think you made some good points there about Pugh. You know, I think it's a strange one, because Jimmy seemed to like Pugh when he first came in. He was another one, you know, along with Shrimpton as well. We've not spoken about Shrimpton, but again, he's another one that if there's injuries in central midfield, he's likely to slot in, and you can trust him. And I think Jimmy trusts him in that role. But with Pugh, you know, he was one really that Jimmy, you know, he was quite happy with, I think. And he seemed to have just disappeared completely from the thinking. So it's, who knows what's gone on there. But I do think they'll be open to strengthening, because I think at the end of the day, Hilton wants to get out of this league at the first time of asking. I think whether it's now, whether it's in sort of January time, obviously we're not under the same sort of transfer window as the Football League. I think there will probably be movement at some point this season, as and when we may need them. And yeah, I think that's where it can be. I think at the moment we've got a decent squad. I think we've got strength in depth. But if injuries start kind of piling up, that might change pretty quickly. And I think we saw it last season with the players that were brought in January. I think we're probably too many, and I think Hilton would agree with that. But I think we've got to kind of be reactive to these sort of situations as and when they arise. And I think, you know, other clubs at this level will be, but I think if we can kind of react and bring in a quality player rather than, you know, someone just to fill a shirt, you know, that's, again, it's going to be an advantage for us moving forward. And I think, you know, that's going to be the aim. But yeah, it's going to be sort of a big week, really. It's going to be a big weekend on the pitch. You know, we've got two tough games, and then sort of early part of next week, it's going to be a really interesting week. And you know, fingers crossed that everything kind of falls for the club, because ultimately at the end of the day, that's what we're all hoping for. I think everyone understands that that's the best sort of outcome, sorry. And yeah, hopefully that's the way it goes next week.
Yeah, we can hope. And I think, you know, that probably rounds up for today's podcast ahead of the Curzon Ashton game. So hopefully you're listening to this on the way towards the Manchester Environs, and let's hope for another really good result. But as always, thanks for listening to the Premier Scunthorpe United podcast, the Iron Brew podcast, and we will see you again very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.